Welcome to High School Sports Uncensored. I'm your host, Rob Long. Right now, we're joined by Varsity Sports Network's own Gary Adonato. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Doing well. This is that time of the year now where the fall sports are rounding up, and we're starting to get ready for the winter sports. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I'm so happy. Fall sports, though, man. I mean, was that last week at Morgan State University? And I had a chance to see St. Francis just completely demolish IMG Academy. But yet they're not an MIAA school, I know, but it's still a regional school. It's still a Baltimore school. It's just impressive to see what they've done nationally.
They're awesome. I mean, as far as a product on the football field, it's another level. It's obviously it's the best high school football team that's ever been from Baltimore ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that can't be disputed.
Right.
There's just so many top level Division I players. The guys that you see playing in that game are candidates to play on Sunday, almost up and down the line, and even for IMG. And to beat a program like IMG, which has, I had the pleasure to visit IMG last February, and it's just acres of sports mecca. I mean, unbelievable facilities.
I go down there every time we're at spring training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on the Gulf Coast, and they're devoted. They're an academy devoted to athletics, and the contrast with St. Francis being the little Catholic school down in Baltimore City with no facilities is unbelievable. But on the football field, at least for this time, St. Francis was head and shoulders above them, and what a performance.
Gary, it seems to be a strange climate now for local high school football. St. Francis independent, Loyola's independent.
Yes.
What is going on with the MIAA and its realignment?
Well, it's all been spurned by the growth of St. Francis. I mean, let's not even talk about politics or all the other things that led to this. That they clearly are at a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
And for the private schools that are in the A conference, which are the best of the remaining schools,
right,
they're of no class for them. I mean, St. Francis are playing national teams, and they did lose once to Mater Dei, who must be unbelievable as well. But so the MIA prides itself on having different levels, and schools can play different sports at different levels. They can play football in the A conference and soccer in the B conference. It's always been that way, where they allow the teams to govern themselves. So if there were another level of football, St. Francis would be in that level by itself, at probably two levels or three levels above. So and for Loyola, they were the same situation, where they left during an era where St. Francis was still part of the league, and they weren't competitive with even the other teams. They've had a rebirth. This year they could clearly be in the A conference, but they made that 2-year commitment, and they tried to move to the B conference, but the league itself, based on the number of kids they had in their program, felt that they were above the B conference level, so they gave them permission to be nomads. So it is a very strange time. I think
I did not know that part. So they tried.
Yeah,
they
applied. It was denied. They appealed to go into the B conference. There's a competition committee.
Fair.
And so they're playing independent schedule. They did play Gilman from the A conference and beat them pretty handily, but Gilman is in a very early stage of a rebuilding process. They played John Carroll from the B conference and they beat them pretty handily as well.
Yeah, was at that game.
Yeah, so they're kind of in the middle between the A and B conference right now. I think they could be competitive. They're going to play Calvert Hall, and they're going to go into that game probably with only one loss. So we'll see how they stand after the Turkey Bowl.
So when it's all said and done, how long do you think this whole realignment thing, minus St. Francis, is going to take place? How long will it take for that to happen?
Well, the MIA works on a 2-year cycle, so Loyola will be independent again next year unless some sort of special exemption is made to move them back into the A conference. The A conference obviously could use another team with only five teams currently. I believe Gilman may eventually end up in the B conference. I think that's where they're headed. You hear different things, rumors about football, like other programs may downsize. I have no clue, but it'll probably one more year the way it is, and then we'll see with the schools decide.
Here with Gary Adonato. He's from Varsity Sports Network. Gary, on to, I guess, a sport, soccer, very popular this time of the year. It looks like Mercy, not only do they have one of the top-notch programs, probably the best, facilities out there on Northern Parkway, they have a program to match it as well.
Yeah, they've been a comer in soccer for a couple of years. They had the big win earlier this year. They knocked off McDonough, which rarely loses locally. Mm-hmm. They may lose on the national level, but McDonough's won the last two championships in, I think, five out of the last six, whatever, in the A conference. But Mercy has had a tremendous season. They're ranked number three right now in our poll, only because McDonough and Spalding are still just a notch better than them. Spalding did beat Mercy. Mercy beat McDonough. So Spalding and McDonough play for first place in the A conference, I believe it's Thursday of this mm-hmm. week. So three great teams right there on the girls' side, bunched right next to each other. And you mentioned the new facilities at Mercy. What a tremendous lift to that program.
Yes.
I think that's going to help them across the board in recruiting girls to come to that school mm-hmm. to play on that beautiful new stadium field there.
It is. It's unbelievable. I had a chance to tour it with Nick Gill. The athletic director over there. It is unbelievable. They did not leave any stones unturned. Boys soccer, who do you like so far this year? Who's been the most impressive?
Well, you know, Archbishop Curley has been a team that's been near the top of the league. They were supposed to take a step back this year. And as it turns out, it's maybe not a team with any one superstar, but it's turned out to be their deepest team, and they're number one in our poll right now. They've only lost once all year in the A conference. Right there with them, Mount St. Joe, mm-hmm. McDonough. Their playoffs get underway next week with the championships the following weekend. I can't call a winner, but I do believe it'll come down to those three teams, McDonough, Mount St. Joe, and Archbishop Curley.
And on the volleyball end, we know about Clara Neff as the basketball player, one of the best basketball players in the area, but she's also tearing it up on the volleyball court.
Yeah. The IAM volleyball has a great tradition as well, and their championships, their playoffs are underway.
Right.
And that should be a phenomenal event this weekend over at Roland Park.
So the championships is this week?
Yes.
So they get a week off now.
Yeah.
In between.
No, they're underway right now with their playoffs.
No, what I mean is
this coming.
Normally the championship is Sunday, and the next day, Monday, is the beginning of winter sports. So now they get a whole week in between?
Well, their other sports will be going the following week, soccer and field hockey, but volleyball is a week ahead of it.
Okay, that's good. Only it's good for us because we have volleyball players on the team.
Now you get court time, right?
You know how I'm thinking. Now, as we turn the clock forward now to the winter sports, there's some pretty impressive area basketball team. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, basketball may be the sport in Baltimore where balance across the board for public and private schools are about the same. You got the Polys of the world and some of the other good public schools, and it kind of adds a little bit more balance than the dominance of the private schools.
It's really changed over the last decade. I think there was an era where the top players in town all felt like they needed to go to a private school to get seen and get an opportunity because they played more games, they played more of a national schedule. But now, as with most sports, most of the recruiting and college exposure is done in the summertime.
Right.
And in the AAU program. And as long as they're in the right AAU program and they're getting out and being seen in the summertime, they don't need that exposure as much on the private school level. So obviously there are scholarship opportunities in the private schools, but if it's not a full ride, I think some families are electing to say, hey, I can play for my local public school and do just as well with the opportunities for college. And basketball doesn't require, like football, 10 or 15 really high-quality players to have a great program, mm-hmm. two, three, or four, you can be a very competitive team, and there's so many more high-level kids mm-hmm. that talent is being spread out, and it doesn't matter whether it's public or private. The balance is, as you said, is pretty equal.
Who's some of the teams on the boys' circuit that we're looking at this year?
Well, you know, my mind is still kind of focused in the fall because we're deep into it. I haven't had an opportunity to really dig into the rosters, but you mentioned Polly. I think they've just built such a tremendous program, and they're loaded. They're coming back with a lot of kids. St. Francis, Mount St. Joe, traditional private school powers will be right there. Delaney has had a nice program, and they have some kids that are
right.
reaching upperclassmen status that are really, really good ball players. On the girls' side, you know all too well, it's St. Francis's world right now. McDonough, Roland Park are always right there.
I have all of them on the schedule.
You have them all on your schedule.
All non-conference on the schedule.
Tell me about your team. Let me ask
Nick
the questions.
Both try to interview me. Our team is going to be decent.
Decent, yeah.
We lost one conference game last year, 120 games. I lost a lot of seniors. I've got the talent. We'll see if we have the leadership.
Yeah.
I've got the talent. We're not short on talent. We've got some good players coming in. But it's all about the leadership. Let's see if we can replace. You know, 2 years ago, my daughter Stephanie Long. We got Ariana Aline, Ayana Brem, Jayla Lewis, Tanaya Keys. That's a lot of people to lose in a 2 year span.
Sure,
we have to, and it's not so much. Again, it's you know, Ayana Brem. I don't want to say they're not talented. Ayana Brem was a 1,000-point, 1,000-rebounder. Her 4 year is in high school. So when I say I'm not worried about the talent, it's not saying that those girls aren't talented. When you put up those type of numbers in 4 years, you're very talented. It's the leadership that I wonder if we'll have. We'll replace that. That's because we're really talented. I've got a 6'4" freshman. You know what I mean? So we have that. It's just that those young ladies that I mentioned, they kept everybody in line.
Sure.
You know, they kept everybody focused.
That's the cycle of and the beauty of high school sports.
Yes, it is.
Someone will emerge, and and as you say, it may not even be the best player,
right?
But it's someone who has those qualities.
Alex Reynolds was a tremendous, tremendous leader, and she's the one player, non-injury, the one player that graduated who won't be playing college basketball in the last 2 years. And she was a tremendous leader. She wasn't going to be a college basketball player.
Right.
So you're right. Doesn't have to be the best player on the team.
Sure.
She's got to be someone who knows, you know, has the respect of her teammates.
And basketball's a longer season. You go through a holiday break. So it's not necessarily the teams that are the best when camp opens and the first games are being played, but you really can evolve as a team getting into January and February. Those are the teams that have the best chance of being successful in the postseason.
And me, Gary, that's why I load up the schedule at the beginning. You know, play those tough teams. You can't be afraid of quality losses.
Right.
You can't, because you learn a tremendous amount, maybe not during the game, but when you go back and watch film, you know, I mean, you can learn a lot from going and playing some of these high-level A conference teams and really competing against them for four quarters.
Sure.
And you learn a lot about yourself.
Absolutely.
I think you learn that more than playing against a team that you're 30 points better than. You don't learn anything from that.
No.
You don't. Not in my opinion. You learn nothing from that. To me, when you're grinding it out in early December and mid-December and you get ready for the conference schedule, that's when you learn a lot about yourself as a team and as individuals.
And you see a lot of teams that'll play lower competition early in the year, and then when they really get into the tougher competition, they stumble.
Yep.
Because they haven't seen it. They haven't been battle-tested.
And they haven't seen the adversity. They don't know. You know, I mean, I remember, you know, we were down 13 in the third quarter. I mean, the fourth quarter in the game this past season. Well, we saw our share of adversity. That 13-point deficit was nothing to us. Came back and won by six.
Right.
That 13-point, for us, it was like, hey, been here before.
You know, sure.
And let's just keep chopping wood. Nobody panicked. There was no, you know, finger pointing. We just, you know,
right.
The beginning of the fourth quarter, down 13. Okay, ladies, we know what we have to do. We've been here before. When you haven't been there before, and January, February rolls around, and you see that, you know, say that we had Claire Neff in our building for the first round of the playoffs. They were up, I think, six in the fourth quarter. Been there before. We came back and won. Because what I like to call it, Gary, in order to win a championship, you got to build a championship resume. And that happens during the regular season. That doesn't happen when the playoff starts. Your championship resume is built throughout the regular season.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, you've been at this for a while.
This is our 10th anniversary year.
That's awesome.
We started this thing, and this will be the 10th full academic year of covering high school sports as Varsity Sports Network.
Now, tell me how it's changed, the landscape of high school sports has changed in these 10 years.
Well, we talked a little bit about what's happened in football. I talk to the coaches, and there's so much more competition now. Recruiting at the high school level is real. I think years ago there was some recruiting done, but it wasn't done to the nth degree. It's very, very competitive. And in the private school side, there is a lot of money being thrown around. There's a lot of inequalities, too. I mean, teams that play in the same league, some schools have a lot more money to spend than other schools. There's kids that are dorming. I mean, I never even imagined when I was in high school
the dorming.
You know, you go to high school, you go home, come home after school, and, you know, you lived at home. But kids are really focused, and I guess some of it's good, some of it's bad. I mean, you're not getting the experiences of playing multiple sports.
Right.
You know, we're about to do a feature on a young man who is a star in three sports, and the thing that caught my eye about him is he's a football player. He plays offense and defense, but he's also the punter and kicker. He kicks off right-footed. He punts right-footed, he place kicks right-footed. He punts right-footed, and he kicks off left-footed and puts it through the end zone every time.
Wow.
I know people are ambidextrous with their hands, but I've never seen anybody could do it with their feet. So that's pretty incredible.
Well, I'm sure like you, I hope to be around here as it continues to evolve, because I agree with you. Some of the evolution is bad, but the majority of it that I see are producing quality young men and women through sports, as we always have.
Absolutely. It's still, like, for me, my greatest memories of high school were, you know, playing for my team, putting that name across my chest, and going to games and rooting for my classmates and being part of that experience.
Yeah.
You know, whether you win or lose, you don't remember it in the end. You know, have a team that could play for a national championship like St. Francis, that's great too. But that's not the same high school sports I grew up in.
I agree.
You know, traveling to Florida six or seven times and what have you. That's just a whole nother level.
But
you can debate whether that's good or bad, but for us guys, for the way we grew up, there's still a lot of that out there. And, you know, the traditions like the Turkey Bowl and all the different rivalries that we have, especially at the end of the season, they're a lot of fun.
I agree with you. Gary Adornato from Varsity Sports Network. Gary, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.